Shri Shuka Vacha.
Shri Shuka Vacha.
Shri Shukadev Goswami said.
Shri Shukadev Goswami said.
Itam. In this way. Virincha Stuta Karma Viryaha. The personality of Godhead. Whose activities and prowess. Are always praised by Lord Brahma. Became manifested. Amritabhu, whose appearance is always deathless. Adityam, from the womb of Aditi. Chaturbhujaha,
having four arms.
Shankha Gada Abja Chakraha,
decorated with conch shell,
club, lotus, and disc. Bishanga Vasaha,
dressed in yellow garments.
Nalina Ayata Ikshanaha,
having blooming eyes.
Like the petals of a lotus.
Like the petals of the lotus.
The translation, Shukadeva Goswami said, after Lord Brahma had thus spoken, glorifying the Supreme Lord's activities and prowess, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was never subject to death like an ordinary living being, appeared from the womb of Aditi. His four hands were decorated with a conch shell, club, lotus, and disc. He was dressed in yellow garments, and his eyes appeared like the petals of a blooming lotus. So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The word Amrita Bahu is significant in this verse. The Lord sometimes appears like an ordinary child taking birth, but this does not mean that He is subject to birth, death, or old age. One must be very intelligent to understand the appearance and activities of the Supreme Lord in His incarnations. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, text 9. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvadaha. One should try to understand that the Lord's appearance and disappearance and His activities are all divyam, or transcendental. The Lord has nothing to do with material activities. One who understands the appearance, disappearance, and activities of the Lord is immediately liberated. After giving up his body, he never again has to accept a material body, but is transferred to the spiritual world, chaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sojana. So, Sri Shuka Vacha, itam vidanchastita karma virya, vadurva bhuvam rita bhuradityam, chaturbhujas shanka gadabjak chakra, Shangavasa Nalina Yatekshanaha Saumagana Timidanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Meritam Yenatas Nayashurveyamaha. So, this is the story of Lord Vamanadeva. Lord Vamanadeva. Who's Lord Vamanadeva?
His incarnation.
I know, but what does he do? What does he look like? What does he look like? Yeah, Brahman.
Yeah. And
what does he look like? A human form, and what else?
In order to.
No, but what does he look like? That's all I'm asking about right now. He's what?
Tall.
No.
He's short.
Well, wow, that's the opposite of tall. He's short. He's a dwarf Brahman. Okay, so let's tell a little bit about the story before he appeared. Okay, so once upon a time, Prahlad Maharaj had a grandson. And his grandson's name was? What?
Huh?
Bali. Bali means what?
Strength.
Strong. So he was very strong, and Bali was the head of all the demons because his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, had taken charge of the demons. Did you know that? And for those few years, the demons were nice guys because Prahlad Maharaj was in charge of the demons. All right. So Bali, what he wanted to do, like all the demons, they wanted to take over the heavenly planets. Because the heavenly planets are very amazing. You never get old. You never get sick. No diseases. Basically, it's a very nice place. Everything smells good. Everybody looks good. No ugly people are allowed in the heavenly planets. So it's a fantastic place. Okay, so he wanted to take over the heavenly planet. So what he did is he attacked Indra. Who's Indra?
He's the leader of all the demigods.
That's right. The administrative leader of the demigods. That means he manages the demigods.
It's like a manager.
Yeah, the manager. The real head of all the demigods is Lord Brahma. But he's like the manager. You know, the CEO. I don't know if you know the CEO.
Chief Executive Officer.
Chief Executive Officer is Lord Brahma. But the person who actually manages things on the, you know, really is Indra. So, anyway, so Bali Maharaj attacks Indra. And guess what? He gets killed. Yeah. He gets killed, the poor demon. He gets killed by the demigods. But his spiritual master, Shukracharya, has this great power. And this great power is what?
That if the body's not burned, he can bring it to life.
He can bring it to life. It's called Mrityu Sanjeevani.
Yeah.
So he can bring the body back to life. So he uses this power. And he brings Bali Maharaj back to life. What's that? Oh. Garland. Keshe, you want to put the garland on me? This is like a Hindi movie. You know, the enthronement of King Ram. So anyway, so he brings Bali Maharaj back to life. And Bali Maharaj then begins to worship his guru because he understands the power comes from what?
One's guru.
One's guru. You know, in the past, Indra made a mistake of not properly respecting his guru, Brahaspati. And Indra sort of lost battles because of that. And there's a whole other story in the Bhagavatam about that. So he became very powerful because he worshipped his guru. And then he attacked the heavenly planets and defeated Indra and kicked Indra out of the heavenly planets. And he took over the heavenly planets. Then, guess what happened? Indra, of course, was pretty upset. But who was more upset than Indra? His mother. Because the mother loves the child more than anyone else, even more than the father. Did you know that? You can tell your father that. Even Mother Yashoda loves Krishna more than Nanda Maharaj loves Krishna. So the mother's love is the highest thing in this world. What do you think about that? The closest thing to pure love of God. So you should always respect your mother and father. So his mother got really upset and she went to her husband. And what's her husband's name? Starts with a K. Kashyap. And she said, "My dear husband, help! My children are in danger. They've lost their heavenly planets." And what did her husband do? Her husband said, "That's Maya." He began to preach to her, saying, "You know, you should be detached. You know, this is happiness and distress. Pleasure and pain, good fortune, bad fortune. These things are all matrasparshas, dukhandiya, sutoshna, sukha, dukha, da." Agamapayana nachas kamsatiksha shabharta. You have to learn to what?
Tolerate
happiness, distress, pleasure and pain, everything. Good weather, bad weather, heat and cold. You have to learn to tolerate these things. And that way you'll be peaceful. But Aditi, the mother of the demigods, she said, you know, you got good advice here, but I can't accept it. Because I love my children. I want my children to take back their kingdom. And so Kashyapa said, all right, I guess you're in Maya. He said, you're so attached. So I'll give you this nice program. It's called Payorata. Does anyone know what Payorata means? What is it? Yeah, but Payavrata means like just to subsist on milk, basically, for 12 days. There's different Payavratas. He said if you do this for 12 days, then you will get the power to get your son, Indra, back to the heavenly planets. So she did this for 12 days, you know, Om, Krishnaya, you know, whatever she did, all the different mantras. And then, as a result of that, who was born? Lord Vamanadeva, the dwarf Brahman. And Lord Vamanadeva, as described here, first appeared with four arms and all the opulence of Lord Vishnu. And later on, he manifested himself with two arms. In the same way that Krishna appeared before who?
Vasudeva
and Devaki with four arms, and later manifested himself with two arms. So he appeared in that way in order to fulfill the desire of his mother. So his mother actually caused him to incarnate. It's interesting, isn't it? Because she had so much devotion for her other son that she caused the Supreme Personality of Godhead to manifest himself. This is a very wonderful story. So it was predicted by Brahaspati, when he was advising the demigods, that they would need an incarnation of God to defeat Bali Maharaj. The reason they would need an incarnation of God to defeat Bali Maharaj is because Bali Maharaj had gotten the blessings of his spiritual master. And also was predicted by Brahaspati that the only thing that could nullify the blessings that he got from his spiritual master is if he offended his spiritual master. This is quite an interesting story. Just like we chant every morning, what is it?
Yes,
Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado yasya prasada na diti katopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. And without the mercy of the spiritual master, you don't get the mercy of Krishna. Every day we're chanting that. That's a secret in advancing in devotional service. Most of us, we think we have some like mechanistic method of advancing in devotional service. In other words, if I follow everything externally, strictly, if I do this puja or that puja, then Krishna will be pleased. But Krishna is pleased when his devotee is pleased. Just like the story, sometimes the question is raised, how can we please Krishna when we're conditioned souls? How can we contact Krishna? Well, we're contacting Krishna and pleasing Krishna through Krishna's representative, the spiritual master. So that's the secret. So we don't have to be so complex in advancing in spiritual life. We just have to please Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master. And so what pleases Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual master? Yeah.
Preaching.
Chanting. No, first of all, there's two things. You've got to have a foundation in Krishna consciousness, which means good sadhana. You know what sadhana is? No? Anyone know what sadhana is? Practice. You've got to have a good practice. Just like if you're doing anything in this world, like playing a piano, musical instruments, or swimming, you know how to swim? So in order to swim nicely, you got to practice. So you have to have some good practice. That's the foundation. And then after that, you have to spread Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada actually mentioned this many, many times. And of course, Krishna mentions it in the Gita, that there will never be anyone more dear to me than he who explains or teaches this Bhagavad Gita or Krishna consciousness. So then we get Krishna's mercy. And then we can do anything. Just like Srila Prabhupada was able to do amazing things. How?
Krishna's mercy.
Yeah, but how? What?
He followed the orders of his guru.
His guru said, first thing he met his guru was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. His guru said, preach in the Western world. He said, well, preach in English. That meant the Western world, obviously. Preach in the Western world. And Prabhupada said, you know, who will take us seriously as long as India is a captive nation? And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur defeated that particular point that Srila Prabhupada made. And Prabhupada accepted that order of the spiritual master from that very day. And he meditated on the order of his spiritual master from that very day. He tried to fulfill the order of his spiritual master, first of all, by doing business. Even Prabhupada's business was a manifestation of his desire to please Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It wasn't Maya. And then finally, when Prabhupada's business was taken away, then Prabhupada went directly to the Western world. But because he had the order of the spiritual master, success was assured. It says the success potency is actually within the order of the spiritual master. Material success, spiritual success, within the order. It's amazing. And so Prabhupada was able to do something that was simply amazing because he had that order. In the same way, Bali Maharaj was able to do something simply amazing, and nobody could stop him unless he offended his spiritual master. So this whole pastime of Lord Vishnu appearing as Valmanadev was to arrange for Bali Maharaj to lose his power by offending his guru. It's an interesting story, isn't it? I mean, it's an interesting understanding of the story. So what happened, of course, at the end of the story, is the way he offended his guru, is that Vamanadeva appeared to Bali Maharaj while he was performing a sacrifice, and Vamanadeva asked for what? He asked for a lot of money? What did Lord Vamanadeva ask for? Three steps of land. Bali Maharaj said, this is not very intelligent. If you're intelligent, I can give you anything. I can give you a village, I can give you a wife, I can give you gold, I can give you everything, because I own everything. He did. And then Lord Vamanadeva said, if one was actually intelligent, one can understand that if you're not satisfied with three steps of land, you'll never be satisfied with the whole world. Because that's actually a devotee. Devotee has to cultivate this consciousness of tushti, satisfaction, that whatever Krishna has sent, I'm satisfied with. I don't need more and more, because the demons are thinking, what? So much wealth is mine, so much more will I get tomorrow, he's my enemy, I've conquered him. So we're always thinking, I want more, more, more. Like this nice village at Govardhan called what? Anyor, Anyor. And Krishna was also saying, more, 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 I want more, more, more. Eventually, he was only satisfied with what? A tulsi leaf. So, anyway, so Lord Vamanadeva presented that to Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj said, okay, I'm going to give you three steps of land. And his spiritual master, Shukracharya, said what? Don't listen to him. He's God. Don't give it to him. He's cheating you. And Bali Maharaj was so intelligent, and that's why he's the acharya of the process of devotional service called Atmanivedana, surrendering everything, even surrendering the order of his guru in order to please Krishna. I'm not saying that everybody here has to do that. But if your guru tells you Don't serve Krishna then. He's not guru. He's guru. He's like a cow or an ass. Guru. So one should not follow the guru blindly. So what happened is that Bali Maharaj says, no, Gurudev, I'm not going to listen to your instruction. And Gurudev got so angry that therefore I curse you, you're going to lose everything and Vamanadeva is going to take away everything from you. And so, but he was so dedicated to Krishna because he had a nice grandfather, Vlad Maharaj. He said, the earth cannot bear the weight of a sinful liar because I've made this promise to you. Then I have to keep the promise. In other words, that's another point, an interesting point in this particular pastime, that if you make a promise or a vow or an obligation, you have to stick to it. Right? It's like if you take initiation, you promise to chant 16 rounds, you have to stick to it. Whatever promises you make, you should stick to it. Be careful what promise you make. Who in the Mahabharata made a promise that was a real problem for him later on? Bhishma. He made a promise, he stuck to his promise, and it caused him problems. He shouldn't have made his promise, he should have just like cooled it. And that made his promise. But anyway, so what happened is that Shukracharya, to stop his disciple from even giving the three steps of land, he interfered with the pouring of the water that would signify the giving of the three steps of land. He put himself into the pitcher. You know the story? So that the water would not come out of the pitcher. And Lord Vamanadeva, he took a piece of kusha grass and stuck at the eye of Shukracharya. So if you ever see Shukracharya nowadays, you'll see that he has blind in one eye. And he's very angry at Krishna. So angry at Krishna. There's some story that he came up with a bogus chanting of Hare Krishna. When Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was present in Jagannath Puri, he came up with this mantra that some of you may be familiar with. Nitai Gaur Radhesham Bhaja Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And their philosophy is you don't chant Hare Krishna in kirtan. You just chant japa, but not kirtan. Nitai Gaur Radhesham. And what they chant is this mantra. They have a place, or they had a place right next to our Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. And they would chant all night long, Bhaja Krishna. Radha Krishna, Radha Sham, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, boom, boom, boom. And it keeps you awake all night long. So it's described that Shukracharya appeared as this person in order to present bogus philosophy and interfere with Lord Chaitanya's mission. Interesting, because he was very angry with Lord Vishnu, what Lord Vishnu did. So anyway, so Bali Maharaj, he was able to pour this water and he gave the three steps of land to Lord Vamanadeva, and Lord Vamanadeva, you know the story, he took the whole earth, the whole universe, and placed the third step on Vamanadeva's head, on Bali Maharaj's head, and pushed him down all the way to the nether worlds. And in this way, Bali Maharaj showed himself to be a complete, pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and achieved perfection. But he lost everything because he disobeyed the order of the spiritual master. But he lost everything material. But Krishna was his grandfather, Prahlad Maharaj, was ultimately a spiritual master, and Krishna was ultimately a spiritual master in that case. So what we can learn from this is, first of all, we should pick a spiritual master who doesn't have any material motives. Because Shukracharya is known as the Acharya of the seminal succession. That means simply the bodily succession. And also he had some many material motives. His motive actually was to get even with the demigods because he had been denied the priesthood of the demigods, Brihaspati 1. That was his motive. And so we have to have a spiritual master who is completely pure, completely free of any personal motives and only desires to please Krishna. Yabhilasha dushunyam yanakarmana pritam. Anukul yena krishnanu shilanam bhaktarutamam. This is the quality of someone who is qualified to be the spiritual master. So this is the story of Lord Brahma today. Very interesting story. We're not online now because this thing went off. So any questions or comments? Yeah.
Isn't it also in Prahlad, when Prahlad was like a young boy, that when Shukracharya's two sons, they...
Sandhanamarka.
Yeah, they, it's in Vishnu Puran, they tried to kill Prahlad, and it's like they called upon some witch, some demon.
That story is not in the Bhagavatam. That you probably saw in a movie or something like
no,
that.
No, it was in Vishnu Puran.
In the movie Vishnu Puran. The actual story is that Sandhanamarka were never trying to kill Prahlad Maharaj. It was the associates of Hiranyakashipu that tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj. Can't believe everything you see in a movie. Yeah.
I think someone told me that they set loose an elephant on Prahlad Maharaj.
No, the father sent loose.
Father
sent loose an elephant. Hiranyakashipu had an elephant that attempted to trample Prahlad Maharaj. He put him in a pit of vipers or snakes. He had his mother give him poison. So many things. They were very, but Sandhanamarka weren't directly involved in the killing process. That's in the Vishnu, the movie, the Vishnu Puran. And the Bhagavatam doesn't describe that, nor do any of the Acharyas describe that. We accept what comes down in the cyclic succession through the Acharyas. All right, so any other questions? Yeah.
Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj was a great devotee, and then, I don't know about the generation after him, like, were they devotees as well?
Yeah, they were all devotees.
Okay, so sometimes we see that there are great devotees, and then it seems to skip generations, and then their children are demons, or
yeah, sometimes,
or whatever, and then their children are devotees, and so on. So
sometimes.
So how does, why does that happen? Why does...
The desire of the living entity and the association the living entity has. Like there's two things that determine someone's qualities. One is called nature, and the other one is called nurture. Now what that means is you're born with a certain nature. I mean, most of us, we're not born with a devotee nature. I mean, some of us may have been. Like, if you think about your parents, what their desire was when they had children, were they thinking, I want to have a devotee? You don't know. Did you ever ask them? You ever ask them? My parents were not. They didn't chant Hare Krishna. They ate things that I can't even mention in class. And so, I don't think they want to have a devotee. However, by Prabhupada's association, when I came in contact hearing Prabhupada chanting Hare Krishna on the radio for the first time, I heard Prabhupada, and associating with the devotees, and taking prasadam and everything like that, then by that association I became whatever I am today, by Prabhupada's mercy. So, on the other hand, you have stories of people who are born in devotee families, like that story I tell quite often, of Bhomasura. Remember the story of Bhomasura I told? Who was Krishna's son, actually I was just telling you, Krishna's son by the earth, when he appeared as Lord Vamadadeva, that he was a good boy, but by bad association, he became a demon. And then also you have the story of Vidvida Gorilla. Vidvida Gorilla and his brother Mainda were the sons of who? Anyone remember the story? They were two brothers. They were the sons of the Ashwini Kumaras.
It's Bali's
Malangu. Ashwini, well, I'll get to that story. I know that story. So they were the sons of the Ashwini Kumaras, and they took birth, being born from the Ashwini Kumaras, in order to assist who? Lord Ramchandra. So their whole birth was actually meant to serve Lord Ramchandra. And they did it. If you read the Ramayana, they did so much nice service in the service of Lord Ramchandra when Lord Ramchandra was retrieving Sita Devi. However, by bad association, they became demons. So they had good births, good association in the beginning, acted as devotees, but then took up some bad association because they went to the bar or something like that. Got drunk, whatever. And as you say, pub, you use the word pub here? Pub. Pub, that's a UK expression. They went to the pub and had bad association. And as a result of that, Dvidvedha Gorilla became so demoniac that he was doing obscene gestures in front of women and other things. As described, he would show different parts of his body, you know. To lady, you know, he just make obscene gestures. You know what that obscene gestures mean? No. These bad moves. You know, bad things, anyway. One is explain what that means. Just like when I was, I don't know if they still have this term now, but they have people who do things called streaking.
Yes.
The same term they use. Yeah. So Dvidvedha Gorilla was doing that. He walking around without his clothes. Now gorillas usually don't have to have clothes, but if you know, if you're the son of the demigods, you should have clothes. So anyway, and then he was kidnapping women. And in fact, when Balaram was dancing his rasa dance on the top of the Raivata mountains, then Dvidvedha Gorilla tried to kidnap the girls. And he's making obscene gestures and making, what noise did he say? What did he say? Anyone remember Krishna book? He said, Kila, Kila! You don't remember that? Nobody here has read Krishna book? Kila, Kila. And so that's like, almost like the sound of a banana, banana, Kela. Right?
Kela.
Like a Hindu, Kela. Kela, Kela, banana, banana. Anyway, so he was making all these sounds, and then Balaram killed him, right? Because he became a demon. And mine did the same thing happened. So there's so many examples of people who were born as devotees, became demons, or born as devotees, acted as devotees, then became demons. And there's stories of people who were born as demons and then became devotees. Like you have that story of Magrari the Hunter. Magrari the Hunter was so demoniac that not only was he hunting animals, but what was he doing?
He half killed them.
You know, they were in the trap and he was enjoying it. And when Narada Muni came, Narada Muni said, why did you kill them fully? He said, well, this is what I was taught by my father. Nice father. And then Narada Muni showed him how demoniac that was and what sort of reaction he was going to get. That's not a movie. He showed a virtual reality. Like they have these virtual reality glasses now. You know about that? Yeah, VR. So he actually saw a whole virtual reality of the animals killing him in his next life. And then he said, I want to be a devotee then, I'm scared. So Narada Muni said, chant Hare Krishna, shave your hair. Because he had a lot of hair, he was full of hair all over his body because he was a hunter. Shave your hair and sit down and chant Hare Krishna. And Magari said, you know, who's going to send me food? And Narada Muni said, of course they send it to you, don't worry. So there's a story by good association how a demon became a devotee. Also the story with Haridas Thakur. How did Haridas Thakur make a demon a devotee? What?
He was born as a Muslim.
Yeah.
But
he was always a devotee. But how did he he converted a demon into a devotee?
The prostitute.
The prostitute. So the prostitute comes to him to try to make him fall down because this demon Ramchandra Khan wanted to make him fall down. This demon paid for the prostitute. And so, after 3 days, she became a great devotee, right?
Yeah.
By his association. So everything is based on association. Whoever you associate with, whatever type of music you listen to, whatever type of food, if you eat food cooked by non-devotee, guess what happened in this case?
Becoming non-devotee?
Yeah. It makes the mind wicked. Can you think of an example of that? Anybody think of an example of that?
Bhishma.
Dronacharya. Prabhupada said because they ate food cooked in Duryodhana's kitchen, they became demoniac. They lost their sense. Even though they were great devotees. Grandfather Bhishma is a Mahajan. A great devotee of the Lord. And he lost his common sense. By eating food. And for listening to music. Demoniac music, like Bollywood music. What do you think? Because sound vibration goes right from the ear to the heart. It's more effective as far as association than seeing something or touching something or even tasting something. Sound vibration. Bhavanti Rudkarna is described by Lord Kapiladeva. Goes right from the ear to the heart. So you have to be very careful. It's like, I'm very careful what I do. This is like I just came here in an airplane, right? So I had to be in the airplane next to people who were doing all sorts of nonsense. Like the person next to me was eating chicken. She was eating chicken. Could you imagine that? She said to the stewardess, I'm allergic to every other type of meat, but please give me chicken. So she brought the chicken. Wasn't a big chicken, probably just a leg or something. Can you imagine that? Give me a leg. Give me an arm. It sounds like the Rakshasas, doesn't it? No, the Rakshasas eat arms. Give me a wing. Give me the liver. Ha-ha. So, anyway, so she was doing that. So I didn't associate with her. And then the stewardess came and said, what would you like to eat?
You said nothing.
Said nothing. No. Is there something wrong with you?
Yes.
I said, no, I'm a yogi. No, I said, yo, no, I had my own. No, I had some fruit with me. And I ate fruit. So I was very careful what I was doing. And then when I was on the plane, I was reading about Krishna. Reading about things connected to Krishna, different skills, acquiring different skills. So everything was Krishna conscious on the plane. So I'm very scared of bad association. Because a devotee, even a great devotee like Grandfather Bhishma, can become a demon by bad association. All right, any other questions?
Right.
Yeah.
Regarding Devidam and
Minda.
Yeah, he was the associate of Lord Ramachandra, so how is it possible? For him to become bad after that, I mean...
How is it possible? They have bad association.
Yeah, but still, I mean, like, if you are so close to Ramachandra, I mean, how is it possible? I mean, is it because, like, today, the
pastime... Well, there is a pastime that he offended Lakshman.
So then, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he took up bad association because he offended Lakshman. Yeah, there is that particular pastime. Like you had, even like the story I just told of Shobri Muni, was meditating, last night I told the story, was meditating in the Jamuna, he offended Garuda. Even though he was in the highest spiritual place, the Jamuna River, which is perfectly purified, he offended a great devotee. So there is that pastime too.
Yeah,
it makes sense. It makes sense. But, you know, in the story, Grandfather Bhishma, he didn't, I mean, of course he offended Draupadi, but the reason he offended Draupadi is that his consciousness had been affected. And he's considered one of the 12 Mahajanas, and the 12 great examples of devotional service. So someone has to be very, very careful. Or Bhomasura. Bhomasura was the son of Krishna. I mean, it's one thing to be the associate of Krishna, but it's another thing to be the son of Krishna. So one has to be very careful in this world.
There's a difference between like being associated or even like taking part in Nitya Lila. I mean, in most cases, like Nitya Patra Lila, then it would be really different.
I think anything the Lord does is, you know, having children is a Lila.
So there would be a reason for that, for him coming.
Yeah, there's a reason, but he's also showing us something.
Example.
There's an example there. Yeah, and we don't want to criticize Grandfather Bhishma, but he's showing us something. And he realized his mistake at the end. I mean, there's so many examples of people associated with Krishna or great devotees who became, you know, contaminated by bad association. And there's so many examples of great demons who became Krishna conscious by good association. Prahlad Maharaj, of course, Prahlad Maharaj was already a devotee.
Yeah.
He was already a devotee.
It is mentioned there with Brahman, they come out of the womb of the mother.
Yeah.
And sometimes they say he appeared. Which of both you can take his testimony?
Well, he did come out of the womb of his mother. But that's how he decided to appear. I mean, just like Lord Varaha, how did Lord Varaha appear?
No, but how can he explain to the ordinary people that in Bhagavatam he says he was born out of womb his mother?
Well, that's how he decided to appear. I mean, that's just, he appeared. I mean, Krishna can appear anyway. Like with Lord Brahma, he appeared out of Lord Brahma's nostrils, Lord Varaha. You know, Lord Brahma.
He appeared from the nostrils, but it is from the womb.
What's the difference? Krishna wants to act like an ordinary person and appear from the womb, or appear from the nostril, or appear just like boom.
Because that word itself is with
I don't.
Not worse. We know about it, but.
That may cause him some confusion, but I don't see any problem with the Krishna wanting to appear from a womb. If Krishna can appear from a nostril, he can certainly appear from a womb. Right? And if Krishna... What are different ways that Krishna appeared?
From a pillar.
So Krishna can choose any method he wants. And if he wants to act like an ordinary person... like Krishna, Lord Chaitanya was born from the womb of Mother Sachi. It's described that before Lord Chaitanya appeared, Advaita Acharya would worship her womb. He would actually smear sandalwood pulp on her, and he would circumambulate her. So Lord Chaitanya, Krishna can do anything he wants. He can appear from the womb of his mother, he can appear from the ear, he can appear from a pillar. He can appear as a fish. He can do anything he wants. He's God. So any other questions or comments?
Speaking of Advaita Acharya, I think he had...
Six sons.
Half of them were devotees and half of them...
Yeah, he had six sons. Six were devotees, six were not.
So why does the Lord arrange for that to happen? Is he just trying to teach that there are no guarantees when it comes to having children?
Yes, and he's trying to teach the importance of association. Karanam guna sangasya sadasa jagma jamishu. The cause of our entanglements in this world is guna sangha, association with the modes of nature. So a devotee should be very careful about his association. I'm very careful who I associate, what I do, what I listen to. Everything. I'm extremely careful. I'm very afraid of Maya. Prabhupada said, asking the devotees to pray that he would stay out of Maya, even though Prabhupada was never in Maya. So that's a devotee's pastime. The devotee actually is always, a real devotee is always very much afraid of illusion of Maya. Because it can, Maya, daiva yesha gunamaya mama maya durachya. Maya is very strong. It's Krishna's energy. She's Krishna's energy. She can pull you away. Even one sense upon which the mind contemplates can take away the mind or take away the consciousness of the most intelligent person. Even the most intelligent person can be taken away like this. if you're not careful. Prabhupada said not to be surprised at who leaves, but to be surprised that so many people stay. You know, Krishna consciousness is not that easy. One has to be very attentive. Like Prabhupada said, it's like a razor's edge. And Prabhupada was referring to a straight razor. You know what a straight razor is? No. You've never experienced that. Nowadays you have this thing called a safety razor. You know, or a disposable razor, right? I'm sure everybody uses disposable razors now. Actually, the landfills are becoming fuller and fuller of disposable razors. So, you can't really hurt yourself. I mean, you would bleed a little bit with a disposable razor, right? I mean, you can go like this and cut your skin and bleed. But I've never really heard of someone killing themselves with a disposable razor. In the old days, we had this straight razor. It was like this big. And you would sharpen it by taking it on a piece of leather. They still have that in Fiji, or?
Even
though he didn't have a bottle. Oh, I would never go to the bottle. Because one slip and you lose your ear.
Infections also.
Infections. Actually, one time I went to India, many years ago, before any of you were born, I was in India, and I had a barber use a straight razor, and I came back from India and I had pustules all over my face. From the straight razor, and I said, I'm never going to let anyone shave me in India from now on. So it's very dangerous. Anyway, so if you have this straight razor, it's extremely sharp, and you could cut someone's artery and kill them like this. So Prabhupada said devotional service is like a razor's edge. You have to be very careful, because if you're not careful, by a little bad association, you can actually lose everything. Or by good association, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarvashastra koi, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarvasiddhi koi. You can get perfect by good association. And then I was just minding my business being a good demon. And then I heard Prabhupada chanting. I made the mistake of listening to Prabhupada chanting on the radio. I know, I'm just teasing. I was listening on the radio, thinking, you know, I guess I was listening to some Beatles songs or Peter, Paul, and Mary. I don't know if you know who they are. Anyway, so they're not Beatles, but no, actually, the doctor understands what I'm talking about. And I was listening to Govardhan playing his guitar, you know, as a rock and roll when he had a big mustache and everything like that.
Yeah.
So I was listening to mundane music, and all of a sudden, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, Prabhupada chanting. And I said, what's this? I became Krishna conscious. Just by listening to that for a few minutes, and then I recorded it. We had little tape recorders in those days. I recorded it and kept listening to it over and over again, and wow. My whole life, that's why I'm sitting here today, because I made the mistake of listening to Prabhupada on the radio.
Normal radio. So is this
the
program they got
him in? No. At that time, the Hare Krishna album that Prabhupada recorded was one of the popular songs. It was 1968 or 9 or something like that. It was the Tops of the Pops. That's what they call it, the Tops of the Pop. You know, the 20. They would have a countdown. Yeah, but that was later. That was the same album, that's right. They would have a countdown of the most popular albums. And here is number 19 in the hit parade. Chanting Hare Krishna. I said, what's that? And then Hare Krishna, Govinda Jai Jai. I said, whoop. Now I have to be a devotee. So that was proof that good association can wake you up immediately.
Must have been a trigger for the
associates
of Srila Prabhupada that went around and just,
yep,
clicked to join in.
Yeah. Like, you know, Srila Gurudev just had that association with Prabhupada at some different programs like that. He was living in upstate New York one time. Anyway, so it was just like, it triggers. Of course, maybe there was something in the past life too, I'm not saying.
Yeah, but Prabhupada must have come with all his associates, I mean, like...
Yes, that's true, but I was simply the associate of Durga. So, you know, I can't think that I was, like, an associate. But anyway, it triggered, it woke me up, and that's why I'm here today. And then another time, I was, before I joined the movement, after I graduated from the university, I was driving a taxi. And a friend gave me a Krishna book. And I read it, and I kept thinking about that little blue boy stealing butter and feeding it to monkeys. And that also woke me up. You know, all these accidents, wasn't accidental, but it was actually something that just triggered my Krishna consciousness. So you have to be very careful. And something can trigger your Maya too. Like a Jamil, he was a nice boy. And he was just minding his business, you know, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then what did he see? What did Jamil see? Nothing? Television? He saw a prostitute and, you know, all this nonsense stuff. And all of a sudden, bling! His material desires became woken up. And then the rest of his life, he became a debauchee. He rejected his good wife. He mistreated his father. Did so many sinful things. Fortunately, he called his son what? At the time of death, he was calling Narayan. I mean, a little bit of good fortune. Anyway, so we have to be careful. Okay, time to end. We have a big day today. All glories to His divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.